This is Our Believing World. Our Believing World is a presentation of the WBZ-TV Public Affairs Department. Today, a program on the Jewish High Holidays.
The blast of the shofar is the most symbolic sound of the Jewish High Holy Days. This coming Friday at sundown, Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year 5723, begins, followed by the 10 days of penitence, and then concluding with Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. What is the symbolic meaning of the shofar? To find out the answer to this question, I went to Temple Kehilleth Israel and talked with Rabbi Manuel Saltzman and cantor Michael Hammerman and music director Ruben Asofsky. And this is what Rabbi Saltzman said to me.
We live in a very noisy world. There are all kinds of disturbing sounds which reverberate throughout the world's atmosphere. There are the angry threats of a dictator, the banging of a shoe on a table in the United Nations. There are the atomic blasts that resound throughout the world, and the thunder that accompanies the blast-off of cosmonauts and satellites into a space. And then there is the teenager who walks down the street with a radio box next to his ears. What is our reaction to all of this noise? We react to the noise very often by making more noise of our own. The shofar blasts seek to penetrate the din which envelops us. It urges us to listen for a moment, not to the pandemonium that surrounds us, but rather to the still, small voice of our conscience and faith, which calls us to prayer. The Hebrew word for prayer is tefillah, which comes from a root which means to judge. When the Jew enters the synagogue on Rosh Hashanah and he hears the blasts of the shofar, he listens to the still, small voice of God's judgment. In the words of the liturgy, the great shofar is sounded, the still, small voice is heard. Behold, the Day of Judgment.
Oh,
Why does Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, begin now rather than some other time of year, such as winter or spring?
On Rosh Hashanah, we Jews believe that the world was created and man was fashioned. See, the Hebrew Bible does not begin with Abraham, the first patriarch of Israel. It begins with the beginning. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and he fashioned Adam, man. And so when the Jew enters the synagogue on Rosh Hashanah, he seeks to reaffirm and to reestablish his link with Adam, the progenitor of all mankind. And in our meditations, in our supplications, and in our prayers, we consider not only the sad plight of the Jew, but we reflect upon the tragic condition of mankind. When I, for example, consider some of the suffering of the Jewish people, I realize that we have this in common with all the peoples of the world who suffer and who seek immortality in God's eternity. For without God, what is man? Our liturgy asks. Adam asks for man, his origin is dust, his end is dust. All his life he spends trying to earn a living, trying to make bread. He's like a fragile vessel, like the dust that scatters, like a dream that flies away.
Is all I have for you.
On Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, what does the Jew atone for, and how does he atone?
When the Jew enters the synagogue on Yom Kippur, and he considers his own fate, he realizes that his own fate is inextricably bound up with the fate of his fellow man. When he wonders to himself whether he will in the following year be exalted or humbled, whether he will wander or be at rest, whether he will be tranquil or whether he will be disturbed, yea, even whether he will live or die, he realizes that part of the answer to these questions depends upon the response of his fellow man to the biblical question, am I my brother's keeper? The premise of the Jewish religion is that all men are responsible for one another. If one man falls, it is because there wasn't another man to give him support. If a man goes hungry, it's because his fellow man doesn't want to share his bread with him. If a man is homeless, it's because another man doesn't want to share his home. If I, for example, would not rear my child so that my child would understand the difference between good and evil, then I have the responsibility for the delinquency of my neighbor's child. That is why the Al Chet, the Jewish confession, is not in the singular, but rather in the plural. The purpose is to emphasize the fact that we have a common fate, that we share our neighbor's blessings, and we also share their sins as well. And so, in the synagogue, the Jew, pronouncing the confessional, beats his breast. And he says, Al Chet, for the sins which we have sinned before thee by wanton eyes, for the sin which we have sinned before thee by bribery, for the sin which we have sinned before thee by envy, for the sin which we have sinned before thee in our business dealings. For all these, O Lord, our forgiveness, forgive us, pardon us, forgive all our iniquities.
Beautiful prayer, Kol Nidrei, is characteristically sung on Yom Kippur Eve. And it is one of the things that I guess we most closely associate with this most significant religious service. We hear it sung in the temple, but we hear it sung in our homes too, because it has become universal, a universal prayer, sung by opera stars as well as by cantors. Now I asked Rabbi Salzman, what is the meaning of this prayer which we hear not just prayed, but which we hear sung so beautifully? What is the meaning of Kol Nidrei?
Man is a promise making individual. I believe that is what distinguishes man from the beast. The animal lives only for the moment. Man can look into the future, and he can make a resolution that the future should be better than his present and his past. There are times in our lives when we are inspired to make a pledge, to fulfill our own personal promise, to be better children, husbands, wives, fathers, and mothers. But sometimes we fall short of our promise. We don't live up to our pledge. I know that this happens to every individual throughout his lifetime. However righteous the individual, however just, however pious. But those moments in which we do make the pledge should remain sacred in our minds and in our hearts, for they are testimony. They serve as a witness to man's perfectibility. They are proof that man can improve himself. And so, when we don't fulfill our promises and our pledges, we should never become cynical about the promise of a better world. We must never become indifferent to our pledges. Rather, they should elicit from us a prayer for forgiveness from God. And so in the opening moment of the Kol Nidre service on Yom Kippur Eve, the Jew utters this Kol Nidre prayer. And in this prayer, he asks God for forgiveness for the pledges and the vows which we made to God, so that we will be reinforced spiritually to make a pledge to improve ourselves in the future. And so Yom Kippur Eve begins with the Kol Nidre prayer, a prayer for God's annulment of our unfulfilled pledges. And you know how Yom Kippur ends? It ends with the shofar. But this time the note of the shofar is optimistic. It's a note of faith. We thus symbolize the fact that our resolutions for the year 5723 can be fulfilled and our pledges kept.
Oh!
Hunger and disease are ugly truths to millions overseas. Help them through your faith. Remember, $1 given to the Protestant, one great hour of sharing. The Catholic Bishops' Relief Fund or the United Jewish Appeal. $1 means 300 pounds of food to the needy overseas. Please give generously through your religious faith. This has been Our Believing World. The program was pre-recorded.